Well, good morning to you again.
Good morning.
I forgot to mention that we need to be praying for Pastor Parsons as he's away this morning, and Pastor Carter, as he's both of them preaching off somewhere else today, so be in prayer for them. And it's been a good week, amen.
Amen.
Brother Bernie came up to me and let me know that his mother had gone to heaven, It kind of breaks your heart when we lose a loved one, doesn't it? But at the same time, isn't it nice to know that they're in heaven? Because what he said to me was that my mom has a new residence. Amen. That's a blessing of being a Christian. Amen. You know, that's the lost people don't have that. And you really have to feel for them in a time like that. But praise God that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, open your Bibles to the book of James. We're going to go back to James this morning. And hopefully we'll stay there for a little while anyhow. Last week we talked a little bit about James. We didn't really get too much into it. We kind of reminisced a little bit about Jonah. But James was written by Jesus' half-brother. And it's a general epistle. It's not written to any one specific person or to the church. It's written to the Christian. So it's written to all of us. I believe Pastor Parsons mentioned that the other night. So James introduces himself in verse 1 as a servant. We went on to verse 2. We talked about joy a little bit. Not to mix joy up with happiness. You know, when we're happy, when we get a new car, we're happy for a while, right? Until the new wears off, and then we're not so happy, but we're happy when we get a new car. Joy comes from the Lord Himself. It's an attitude of the heart and spirit, you might say. You know, it comes from within. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to get that mixed up. And then we moved on to verse 3, which is probably about where we stopped at. I believe we went to Galatians, where I read a verse to you, where Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's where our joy comes from. Then as we moved on into verse 3 and trying times, and let me just read that verse to you. We'll get started there. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Now, I understand and I know that I'm just like you. I don't really care for hard times or trying times. I don't think any of us look forward to it. But what we'll learn here through James is that through that, we grow. We talked about that some last week. As we grow up as a child and we're disciplined from our mother and our fathers. But we're disciplined. Well, it's the same way as we grow as Christians. Through the trials and tribulations that comes into our lives, we learn and we grow. We become better Christians, better followers of Christ. If we don't grow, then we'll kind of be like Jonah. I mean, think about something. Jonah being a man of God, and yet, as we went through the story, when Jonah was upset with God, what did he do? He went out in the city and sat up on the hill. He literally went up and sat up on a hill and cried and moaned and whined and was angry with God. We're talking about a man of God. Now, what's that come from? He still needed a lot of growing. He had a lot of growing to do. And today, it's the same way in our lives. You know, we can come to church, you know, and just coming to church doesn't make you a good person. You understand that? It's what we learn and what we carry back with us. It's what gets into our heart and into our minds. So we can be like Jonah. We can go out on that hill and we can sit there and we can whine and cry about everything in the world. Or we can get with a program and just trust God when the hard times come into your lives. Folks, I don't know about you, but we've had some tragedies throughout our lives. But I look back at those tragedies. Now I can look back and I can see where God used those to guide and to direct my life. I would not be where I'm at today if it had not been for those trials and tribulations that God allowed into my life. But by standing fast in the Lord and growing, we get better and better in the Lord. And we learn more. Think about this. If you come to church on Sunday mornings, and you sit here and you go home, you come Sunday night and go home, and you just make that a routine, but you don't grab anything while you're here. I remember Dr. Carter said one time, he said, "I wish I could just pop your head up and just pour it in, you know, and that way we could get it." Because when we come in, and folks, sometimes we're like a robot. We just come in and we sit. We don't even hear the service. That's the truth. We walking out the door this morning when we get ready to leave, you'd be surprised how many people you can stop and say, "What did the preacher preach on this morning?" And they couldn't tell you. That's because we come in and we get to a routine and we allow it to become a routine rather than becoming a learning process. When we come in here and the word is preached and taught, we got to grab that. And then when you go home, you know, you're supposed to open your Bible and go home and read and study that. You know, you can read, you know, James has only got 5 chapters in it. You can go home and sit down tonight just a short time and read through the book of James. But what have you learned? See, you just run right through the words. You don't allow any of that to help you to grow. And that's what we've got to do. Remember, when we go all the way back to the second verse, it says, my brethren, no, first verse, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are what? Scattered abroad. Now, because of that was happening, and because, I mean, man used it for a wicked, evil thing. God took it and used it for good. God used it to grow the church. God used it to spread the gospel. But with all that being said, when those people were scattered abroad, their learning becomes less and less and less. They didn't have the teachers that they needed to be teaching. They didn't have the services. We're fortunate to be able to come in here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night as we're free to do so. And then we still don't take advantage of that. But at this time, the reason James is teaching the 5 chapters that we're going to go through, the reason James is teaching these is because the church, when you're adding new members to the church, you got to remember, it's just like America, it was a melting pot. And you're adding members to it. Well, when you add members to the church, they're bringing in their baggage. They're bringing in their old luggage. You know, they're going to hang on to whatever they've been taught. And just like you and I don't know about you, but I'm rooted in what I've been taught. Well, I believe I'm right. I'm going by the book, amen? Amen. But what we have to remember is they believe they're right. Yep. So if you're out door knocking and you're able to lead somebody to the Lord, the door was opened. The Spirit's moved in. They've been saved. Now they have to begin to grow the proper way. And that takes time. I think I said something about it last week. That's why we don't need the Christian police. You know, when people come in here and they've just been saved to come in, they're not going to dress like you. You okay? They're not going to act like you. They don't have the biblical knowledge that you have. You know, they're going to say stupid things. So what are we going to do? Are we going to run, jump up on top of the hill like Jonah and be mad at the world? Because these are the options that we have. So we can choose to do that, or we can take the correction. Folks, us as Christians in here, we've got to grow. And we've got to continually grow all the time. I heard a businessman told me this one time, and it applies to the church as well. He said, a business that does not grow dies. So you're either growing or you're dying. One or the other. So if a church comes to the point where it stops growing, what's it going to do? It's going to die. So how can we grow if we don't have any biblical knowledge? None whatsoever. You know, there's so many churches that you go to. People come in here, and it's the first time they've ever heard the gospel. They've never heard. They never knew that they had to be saved. And we're talking about somebody who may have been in church 20 years, and they've never heard that they had to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never been taught that. Well, that's why James was so adamant about what he wrote right here. And as we go through this, he is setting our mindset. The first few verses here. Everything is for you and I. It's to help us to grow. He's going to be pointing out things that you and I, what we need to do to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for him writing that, the church is being spread as they were, gossip was getting in, the wrong stuff was getting into the church house, and they began to waver. They began to walk the wrong way. And folks, it happens so easy. Look at the church today, in our time today. Churches are still going the wrong way. They're still not teaching the gospel. They're not teaching the truth. They have wrong teachers. That's why it's so important that when you get a church that's going to adhere to the Word of God and stick to the Bible, when you come in, and then this is what people will say, well, they're always nitpicking, always talking about the way I should dress, or always talking about I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't do this, or I need to do that. I need to read my Bible more. I should be in church every service. Well, those things are to help you. They're not to hurt you. You know, as Christians, this is what happens, folks. Listen to me now. When we come into church on Sunday morning, your neighbor sees you. Don't think they don't. They see you. They're watching what you drive. They're watching where you live. They're watching what you wear. They listen to the music that you listen to. They'll do everything they can to get a sneak peek at your music. They want to know what you're all about. Is it real to you? Is it true to you? Or are you just going through the motions? Now, you know, we can sit in here and say, well, that's not the case. But it is the case in most places. Most churches this morning are in church for one reason. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. It's Sunday. They're not there to spread the gospel. They're not there to educate themselves in God's word. That's not why they're there. They're there to make themselves feel better about who they are today. And that's not the purpose of the church. Now, I'm going to give you a little testimony. I'm going to give you a little example of faithfulness and the importance of being what you say you are. A few years back, a long time back, seemed like a few years to me, but it's been a long time now. I wasn't the nice guy that I am now. You didn't have to laugh. It was, I was saved. I was saved at the age of 12. And I thank God for that. Because I never went through a lot of the things that teenagers go through growing up. You know, I mean, when I got saved at 12 years old. I had never read the Bible. Actually, never heard of it, to be honest about it. I had never read the Bible. But from that point forward, I knew right from wrong. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing how a 12-year-old child, by being saved, when God moved in, he moved in. And I knew right from wrong. But still, I was still walking in the ways of the world. Because I hadn't had the structure and the teaching that I needed to walk any other way. Now, I didn't walk in drugs because I knew it was wrong. Every time something would come up inside of me, that little voice would say, no. No, it's wrong. Don't do it. So I never got in any kind of mischief or trouble. But as I growed up and got married, my wife put up with me. And bless her heart. She still puts up with me. Amen? Amen. I've been married all my life now. But anyhow, we got married. We had some children. And we moved to Florida. And there was a man that come by my house, knock on my door, and invite my family to church every week, every Saturday. Come by and knock on that door. I was working 9 days a week at that time. Couldn't afford not to. You know, I was working 7 days a week, 20 hours a day just to eat bologna, you know. I mean, it's not like it is around here now. There wasn't much here. It was all citrus and it didn't pay. So, you know, you worked all the time. You were slaves to them. But that man every Saturday would come by and knock on my door. I wasn't there, but my wife would be home sometimes. Sometimes she wouldn't. But for year after year after year, and invite my children to ride their bus. And they would from time to time. And I'm speaking of a man that's been faithful to this day. This man still drives a bus. I believe he's still driving a bus, last I heard. Brother Condon.
Amen.
Still driving a bus. But that's faithfulness. See, that was a man that took the teachings of Christ and applied them to his life. And no matter what went on in the church, see, this is what happens in the church. Somebody says some little something that we don't like, and that's a good excuse not to go back next week. I'm not going back there. People are nasty. They're people are mean. No. That's an excuse you're using not to come to church Sunday morning. Or somebody didn't shake your hand. And, you know, I get around and I try to shake hands with everybody. Sometimes I can't because there's not enough time. But I try. I mean, if I don't shake hands with you, it doesn't mean that I don't like you. Or it doesn't mean that I try to miss you this morning. I just didn't have time. You know? But we can use those little things and we can use them as an excuse to jump up on that hill just like Jonah did. And we can sit up there and whine. Or we can do like James is going to instruct us to do and count it. Just count it, write it off. Just write it off, forget about it. Move on about what you're doing and be a servant unto the Lord. Just serve God. That's all we got to do, just serve God. Instead of whining and crying about every little bitty thing. And being a Christian police, we don't need that either. Folks, we just need to get in the Lord's service and stay there. And I'm going to tell you, you look at the churches around, how easy it is for them to get off task, get off the target. And it's the same way here. If we don't continuously preach and teach the same things over and over and over and over, we'll forget. So I don't know about you, but I need it every week. I need to be reminded every week of who I was before I got saved. Every week. Because by nature, I'm still that same person by nature. Jesus has moved in and made a difference in my life. But my nature, the sin nature, is still there. And until that trumpet sounds and takes us out of here, we're stuck with the sin nature. So we've got to feed that nature. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Look at verse 4. What's that very first word? But. That means we're fixing to look at the other side. Like Dr. Carter said, we're going to cross the street. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You understand that we're supposed to be seeking the mind of Christ. That's what all of us, our goal should be, to be Christ-like. And all these things that comes into our lives, if we use them and count them for joy the way James is telling us to. Now think about that. I know that's hard to do, but think about what he's telling you here. He's telling you to die to self. That's what he's saying. He's saying get self out of the way and move Christ to the forefront. All of our thoughts and all of our everything that we do every day should be in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you say, this is the first thing people say, well, I don't work at the church. It don't matter where you work. It doesn't stop you from serving God. Amen. You know, you can be a pyroman or a truck driver or a trash man. It doesn't matter. That does not stop you from serving God. It does not stop you from being godly in your service. Whatever it is that you do. So we can't use these things as an excuse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But, there's that word but again. Now we're going to go across the street again. But, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What's he telling us right there? Folks, when we waver, we're just being blown around with every wind of doctrine. We need to be rooted, grounded in our faith and our beliefs. This is the same problem that we have people all the time. I'm not sure that I'm saved. How many of you ever done that? Have you ever told yourself, well, maybe, am I really saved? If the rapture happens today, am I really leaving here? You know, most of us have done that, haven't we? But that's because of our lack of faith and trust and understanding in the Lord Jesus. God loves you, period. And when you're saved, you're saved. Done. It's a done deal. But because we waver, because we're not rooted, we're not reading the Word and studying God's Word the way we ought to, we allow Satan to get up on our shoulder and tell you that you're going to hell. You're not really saved. Who are you fooling? Look what you was thinking the other day. He can say that to any of us. That's his way of stopping you from spreading the gospel. See, if you have doubt in your life, then you're not going to be encouraged to go share it with somebody else. You know, we got to remember that everything that goes on every day of our lives has to do with the battle that we're in every day. It's a spiritual battle. And we forget that. We get up on Monday morning and go to work, and we forget that we're still in that spiritual battle. It's not just on Sundays. It's every day of the week, 7 days a week. But we get in habits. We're creatures of habit. And that's why James is trying. You see what James is trying to do here? You see how he's trying to direct our thoughts toward where they need to be?
Yeah. Amen.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Oh, my word. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I first read that verse, that's a little bit disheartening right there. Because what did God just tell you? He just told you, you're not receiving anything. Folks, that's the problem with the church. That's why our church has lost so much power. The church is not as prominent in the world today as it used to be, is it? Nowadays, they'll break in, and you know, used to, you didn't have to lock a church door. They wouldn't dare come into God's house. But folks, the church is losing its power because it's losing its faith. It's losing its trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you and I are the Christian. We're the saved people. And if we don't believe it, how are we going to convince a lost world? And that's where we stand. Go with me over to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 12. I want to read something to you because, boy, this is sure enough a picture of the church today. This is where we're at. This is, and I'm sure we've always been there, right? I'm just going to start in verse 11. Now, let me read verse 5 to you. Now, you know this is a story of Peter when he was put in prison, when Herod was a king. They had killed James. They got Peter in prison. And the church is praying. Peter, therefore, this is verse 5 in chapter 12. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, who's praying? The church. That would be you and I in our case today. Now, just picture us. We're all sitting around. We're praying for Peter because he's in prison. Now, go to verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a certainty that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectations of the people of the Jews. So now then, at this point, Peter's been released. Angel of the Lord had come and released him from prison. In verse 12, he says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, they're still praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken unto Rhoda, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. Now get a picture of that. Now Peter's standing out here knocking at the door. She hears his voice and she recognizes Peter's voice. And she's like, that's Peter. Well, you think she just snatched the door open? No. So she runs inside. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they say unto her, thou art mad. Now, wait a minute. This is the church. They're saying, woman, you're crazy. You're out of your gourd. Herod's got Peter locked up downtown. Now, wait a minute. What were they doing? They're praying without ceasing, praying continuously for God to release Peter. God answered the prayer. And they're saying, you're crazy, woman. You're mad. They didn't believe a word of it. Listen to what it says. And when she knew, 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is an angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Folks, that's the faith of our church today. They're praying, and the whole time they was praying, they never believed God was going to answer their prayer. They never believed a word of it. So let me ask you this. Why do we waste so much time in prayer if we don't believe God's going to answer our prayer? Now, God answered the prayer here. But when we was reading over here in James, and it tells you that the man that wavereth like the sea, he tells you the Lord's not going to give you anything. He's not going to answer your prayers. He's not going to give you what you're asking for when you ask in doubt. But that's where the church stands today. That's why the church has lost its power. We pray, we say we believe, and we do these things, but the whole time we're praying, it's all in vain because we really don't believe. Can God heal? Sure he can. But let me tell you something. It's become such a hoax on television. You see all this garbage that we see to make money. And because of that, we, the true believers, act like God can't heal. See, we allow the influence of the world, their sin, what they're doing wrong, we're allowing that influence into our lives that we no longer believe that our God can actually do that. Because he can heal anyone, anybody, any place, anytime.
Amen.
He is our God.
Amen.
Our problem is we have so little faith anymore. We allow so much of the worldly influence into our lives. And we don't even realize it sometimes. But we allow so much influence into our lives that we forget that God is real. God's the real deal. We're not just coming to church on Sundays to play church.
Amen.
If I honestly felt that way, I would not be here.
Amen.
I wouldn't waste my time. I'd go fishing. I mean, if I'm going to come here, I'm going to come here and serve my God. That's what I'm here for.
Amen.
And if I can't serve God in some capacity, I'll go fishing. Why waste your time? Why waste your time coming to church to sit in a pew and do nothing?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that sitting in the pew you're worth. I'm not saying that. But you can be plugged in somewhere into the church.
Right.
You know, you can be a prayer warrior. We need prayer warriors. You've seen our prayer list. It grows and grows and grows. There's always sick people, and we need people who has time to pray. We need people who just need somebody just to go up to them and hug them and say, I love you. Love you in the Lord. It's nice to have encouragement from other people. And there's people who are sick or have family members who are sick, and they just need some encouragement. Because just like you and I, they get so much worldly influence into their lives that they forget that God is God. We need to take God off the back burner and put him up here on the front burner. And when it comes to our prayer life, we need to stop using God as a piggy bank. Because folks, that's what people do. They have no time, no prayer life, no time to pray until they need something. And then when they pray, they're asking for something that's going to help them in their wealth. That's not what our God's for. Folks, if you just get things lined up, God will take care of your wealth.
Amen. Yep.
He'll take care of you. He'll see that your needs are met. You'll have no problems there. But we need to get things lined up and get to where we need to be as Christians. We don't need to have the faith that they had over here praying for Peter. We need to be praying and believing that God is going to answer our prayers.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you something. You know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. And I thank God for that sometimes. I really do. I thank God for that. Because I know some really smart people, and they're dumb as a brick. Okay? They've got brain smarts, but they're ignorant. They're truly ignorant. And I thank God that I see the little thing. When I'm sitting down and read my Bible, I thank God that He opens the Scripture to me.
Amen.
That's such a blessing. I can't even explain to you.
Amen.
How much of a blessing it is to be able to read the Word and God reveal to you through His might and His power what He has provided for us. That is such a blessing. But today, we just throw it aside like it doesn't matter. Folks, every day of our life should be focused on the things of God. Everything that we do. I mean, you know, we all have hobbies or things that we like. Whether Brother OJ, he likes to race. I go with him sometime. He likes to race. Some people like to fish. And those things are good. Some people like to play golf. And those things are good as long as they're kept into the right perspective. As long as you keep the godly attitude with it and do everything in the service of the Lord. You know, who says you can't go play golf and be in God's service? You can be. You can be an example to everybody else around you. When you knock your ball in the water, you thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the other guys over there throwing a golf bag in a pond and all that and leaving, you know what I mean? So you set the example by doing that. But we can't do that when we don't have the faith to do so. We need to be grounded and rooted and know what we believe. Folks, let me ask you something. Everybody in this room, if I ask you today, would probably raise your hand if I ask you if you were a born again believer. And we'll raise our hand and say yes. Well, if you truly believe that, then how can you not believe that God will answer your other prayers? Think about it. The most precious prayer that you're ever going to ask in your life is to have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe that God will save your soul, the most precious thing on this earth, how can you believe that He won't answer something so minute as healing somebody? Because to him, that's not a big deal. If he was to speak it or to think it, it's done. But folks, we've gotten so worldly, even in our churches today. And I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me as well. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't seen anybody put their Jesus shoes on and walk across the lake lately, okay? Now, I think Peter did that, didn't he? As long as he had his eyes where? On Christ. And that's what James is trying to teach us here. He's trying to teach us to stay focused in the things of the Lord. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we can accomplish anything. But we have to be focused on the Lord Jesus. And we're out of time. My brother, what is our Sunday school count this morning? All right, 676. We're off a little bit. We have so many people took vacation this week. All right, we'll take about a 10-minute break, and we'll come back for the preaching service.